todolisthome.com. Welcome. I'm your host, Tony Teolis, and I'm keeping track of things to do around a home for a better life. Today is January 22nd, 2012. This is episode 35 of the To-Do List Home podcast. 4 steps to gardener and landscaping plans for success, or permaculture principle number 12. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is You're Gonna Miss Me by the 13th Floor Elevators, recorded on Going Up, the very best of, from 2006. Have a listen at amazon.com, and the link can be found in the show notes. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research, learning, and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance, retiring at age 55 or younger, and the survivalpodcast.com. Go to the survivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or even if they don't. I want todolisthome.com to be your one stop for home and life projects, or at least one of your stops for those projects. By doing this, I hope to save you time and provide some humor that is hard to find. If any of this turns out to be life-altering, all the better, because I know how hard that is to find amongst all of the muckety-muck on the web. So subscribe, connect with us, listen to us on iTunes and podcasts, watch the To-Do List Home videos on our YouTube channel, Tokyo73, and be our friend on Facebook. Links to all these sites can be found at the todolisthome.com website. We hope you'll share your to-do list ideas with us. You'll also find useful files that you can download on the menu bar of the todolisthome.com website. Feel free to view and use the files for your to-do list. My home projects and endeavors for making a better life become stories of how I put past experiences and research together to present you home, work, and life projects with a purpose. It's not always important what we do, but it should always be important why we do things, especially if we're trying to make a better life. There's a lot of things out there right now that we think we want to be able to take into our lives and try to control, and a lot of outside influences, but we can only really control that which we truly influence. For me, it's typically my backyard, which leads us to today's episode, 4 steps to gardener and landscaping plans for success, or permaculture principle number 12. Today's episode is another example of me explaining a project or idea and compiling the most useful information to help you when you do these things efficiently and cost effectively. I make a lot of goofs and I hope to learn from you at the same time. This episode is the first of several that will explain why I implement permaculture principles as I plan and manage the home gardens and landscape in particular, and my life in general. First, what is permaculture? Permaculture is an approach to designing human settlements and agricultural systems that is modeled on the relationships found in nature. Let's think about that again. It's an approach to designing the way we live, the way which nature is designed. So if you look at, quite typically, my suburban neighborhood, it's very anti what you find in nature. It's very laid out and planned, and you could tell it was planned without taking the surroundings into consideration. Permaculture is the approach to redesigning where we live and how we live to fit and more model what nature has. There are 12 principles of permaculture, and the reason I find them interesting to practice is that there are endless possibilities when you look at yourself and your land with a creative eye. The principle I employ in today's episode is number 12. Creatively use and respond to change. Vision is not seeing things as they are, but as they will be. So I present this podcast because I'm envisioning the seasons changing, and I wish to welcome spring with implemented plans of productive growth for the home and its surroundings. I know it's only January 22nd, but spring is coming fast. If you view the Planting Times Excel document on the todolisthome.com website in today's show notes or in the download section, you'll see that I'm going to grow parsley again. And that means seeds have to be sown by January 27th. They take a long time to germinate and then sprout, and when they do, they need to be placed in light. In order to prepare for the parsley and the other plants on the Planting Time spreadsheet, I needed to do four things this week: creatively use and respond to the change in the seasons that's coming. I needed to envision the possibilities for the back, front, and side gardens. There are still four hugelkultur raised beds that are not yet built, and I need to think how they will affect this year's gardening plans. And now that that vision is coming a bit into focus and plans are being worked on in a PowerPoint file, this week marked the drop-dead date for calling 811. Here in Virginia, we call that Ms. Utility. I wanted to call the number so I know where or where not to be placing new gardens. I also needed to finally get around to inventorying my seeds and ordering new ones. I've already got the plants taken care of. Prepping the green room is very important, and gathering wood for new hugelkultur beds. So the four steps that I'm taking to put my permaculture principle into practice this week was taking the vision that I have. I envision new gardens. I'll need to know where they will be. I'll need to know what kind of resources I need to put them in, with the makeup of the hugelkultur beds, starting with wood logs and the seeds that will eventually go on top, and then possibly I need to do some cover cropping before I do the actual planting. The first step was to call, as we say here in Virginia, it's called Ms. Utility, or just calling 811, and I have a link to 811.com. Even though I don't really plan to dig deep into the yard at all, or dig at all, I just plan on removing some turf and laying logs on top of some of the bare spots that'll be revealed as a result, I still wanted to call Ms. Utility to make sure I wasn't putting any new raised beds on top of buried utility lines. This allows me to know exactly where I can place the new gardens, and I can plan for them in the PowerPoint, and then I can also determine how big they will be and what will be required to fill their spaces. Calling 811 cannot be underestimated. They ask you a lot of questions, but they come out and mark all of your electric, gas, telephone, and cable lines. They do it for free. Then you go ahead and make a copy of that either in video or pictures, or you go out with a pen and paper and copy the lines and keep them somewhere in a permanent record so you always have that. So you never make the mistake of trying to build on top of those lines or dig into them by accident. With careful planning, I also realized that I only needed a certain number of seeds and plants. I'd already spoken in a previous episode about the plants that I've ordered for this coming spring, and that is episode 32. Even though I am expanding the landscape with additional gardens this year, I don't need to order many new seeds. I've done a good job of storing the seeds, as well as saving seeds from certain plants that I grow, like peppers and tomatoes and cucumbers. In a picture you'll see in today's show notes, you'll notice that the seeds are usually kept in sealed Ziploc freezer bags. I use the O2 absorbers and seal the seeds inside, and then they're all organized according to the dates on the Planting Time spreadsheet for when they need to be sowed. And I'll typically sow them in vermiculite that soaks up water. I'll keep those up in our upstairs bedroom where that's the warmest room in the house. And once they start to sprout, I'll place them in the green room under the grow light system. With knowing this information, I realized I could save a lot of money because I didn't need to order as many seeds as I thought would be necessary. From Norse Farms for my berry plants and asparagus, I've already ordered an additional 5 blackberry triple crown, and that'll bring the total number to 17. I ordered 25 more asparagus plants, this time purple passion. I already have 25 Jersey asparagus plants, so that'll be a total of 50 asparagus plants I may have now. I ordered 3 Samdal and 3 Sammill elderberry plants. They're good for cross-pollinating, and there's 6 of those arriving. I have 3 Blu-ray blueberry plants arriving. Blueberry you have to be very careful about, require special soils. In particular, the blueberry requires acidic soil, and they will grow large. probably 5 to 6 feet tall and spread out both the elderberry and the blueberry. So I have to be careful how I plant this. Right now I'm looking at bare spots and envisioning what it'll look like with full bushes in place. And then I ordered 5 Taylor raspberries. I already have 10, and this will bring the number to 15. So I'm looking forward to that. For my seed inventory, I needed some flowers and a few vegetables, not much, but I really wanted to bring out more flowers for the bees this summer and spring. And so I've ordered some asters, a couple of different kinds of sunflower, a black mammoth, an autumn beauty, chamomile. I needed some cherry bell radish. I needed cilantro. I needed daikon. Matt's wild cherry. The cherry tomato is just awesome plant. I ordered more of those seeds. I ordered some nasturtium, which are really great for keeping your gardens pest-free, in addition to marigolds. If you don't already have marigolds in your garden, I highly recommend lots of marigolds. And then I also ordered a little more oregano, some dwarf sunflowers, and more thyme. I have a lot of thyme in the yard right now, but I wanted to have some extra seeds just in case the crop, for whatever reason, doesn't overwinter well this year. Then I thought about if I build new hugel culture beds, they'll probably be in place at least a month before I actually plant stuff in them. Thus, having a cover crop on top would be a good idea. I did a little more research about what kind of cover crop would be good, and I decided on alfalfa and oats as a cover crop, because oats can be planted in early spring and it should grow for a little while, and then I can turn them into the soil for where I actually will be planting plants, and then I can let it continue to grow wherever the new plants that I put into the hugel culture beds are not placed. Step number 3, I needed to make space for where the seeds and plants are to grow indoors. I'll be sprouting them probably in one of the upstairs bathrooms where it's warm. Then once they sprout, I need to move them down to the green room. I needed to change the setup a little bit to accommodate more plants near the windows. But the concept is still the same, and the plans for how to set up a grow light system as simple as I did are in today's show notes, as well as in a download section at todolisthome.com. I also purchased some new fluorescent lights just as a backup, the residential and kitchen and bath type. So I have 2 different types of 4-foot fluorescent lights. 1 kitchen and 1 residential goes into each shop light setup. That way you get a full spectrum of light that'll aid the plants better than putting them only under one of the spectrum. When you put the residential, it's a harder kind of a bluish light, and the kitchen bath light is a softer pink light. They're going to grow when you have them both there and you switch your plants around every once in a while. They tend to grow better under those conditions. I also have 2 35-gallon trash cans in the green room. One is filled with water to serve as a heat sink. The other holds compost, and I've been turning the compost in there, basically dumping the trash can out into one other trash can and then dumping it back, so getting it that big stir. There's some worms in there, and then I have PVC pipes running in and out of it to show how I can try to capture some of the heat that may be coming off of the compost as it breaks down. I have a detailed description of this particular setup with a compost in episode 23, How to Garden and Grow Vegetables in the Home. So that's at todolisthome.com, episode-23. How to Garden and Grow Vegetables in a Home. And I show what I'm doing in there, how the green room actually looks now, and ways that you can go ahead and get your own green room started. It's very important that you do this and you have the system waiting for you when your plants are ready to be put under light. They will not grow if they are not placed under fluorescent lights. You could try to put them in windows, but they will grow tall and spindly and not get the type of energy that they need that only a fluorescent light system can provide. You may be able to try, only under the best of circumstances, to possibly put sprouted seeds in some sort of cold frame outside, but my guess is that they won't grow. You need to grow your plants, get them off until they've got a good 3 or 4 sets of leaves before even thinking about transplanting them outside. That's in most cases. And again, if you follow the Planting Times guide that's in an Excel form on the show notes and in the downloads at todolisthome.com, you'll review it a little bit and then catch on to the system of when you start the seeds, and then when you transplant them into plants either outside or transplant them directly from or grow directly from seed to the outside. Step four is rather detailed. There's a lot of materials I'll need for my new hugel culture beds, but the basic stuff I need to be gathering right now is wood. Fortunately, I have woods in my backyard, so I'm able to go in the back and in the woods and gather wood. And tonight I started to gather logs and long sticks, useful material that'll help build up the beds from the bottom up. I started with some pine today because the blueberries require very acidic soil, and pine is conducive to creating those kinds of conditions. So I started to gather up some pine and then some conifers to start preparing for the beds that I'll be building soon. Soon I'll need to start gathering up good humus manure, which I can find very cheaply at any of the stores around here for about $2.50 cubic feet, or is $2, $2.50, something like that. And I'll need peat moss, and I'll need some more vermiculite, and then I'll need a lot of just regular trash from around the yard, leaves, compost, a lot of natural greens that I can just find on my own to help build these beds up. Just like I did in episode 17 of the first hugel culture bed I built. And if you review episode 17, you'll get a good introduction into what hugel culture is, how to approach it, and how to scale it to a size that makes sense to you. In closing, I want to emphasize it's not too late to make your seed orders. However, it is necessary to plan for what you want to be doing. If you plan for where you'll do your planting, you'll save yourself money because you'll avoid over-ordering seeds. Seeds and plants are small, so it's easy to overcompensate when making orders without knowing in advance where they will go and how much space they will actually take up. So charting out, like I have on a website, the home outline, the garden plans for 2011, if you go through that, you can see my approach to how I try to identify where I'm going to be putting things before I even grow the seeds. Hope you found this episode a bit informative and useful for helping with your projects. Thanks for listening. That's it for today. Now go and do something useful.